Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness. Say my name, you
know who I am. Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done, other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is good to have you listening on a Thursday as we count down to Falcons preseason football. And Mike, it's funny because we have this conversation. It seems like every year we're excited to have football back, but we're not excited that it's preseason football because we know how this goes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's hard to really get invested when you're talking about, all right, what we're going to see tomorrow, what we're going to see, for that matter, tonight. We've got some preseason action going on tonight. But, you know, it's always hard to decipher how much attention you want to pay to it. The bottom line, though, is there are some young guys that I'm curious to see how they're going to play and this offensive line.
Now, my thing is, and I'm guilty of this almost every summer, is falling for some rookie and saying, okay, that's a guy I'm going to draft in my fantasy league because you see, oh, wow, this guy's going to get the rock on his team. And then, unfortunately, there's just so much running back by committee. There's so many teams out there right now trying to figure out who's going to get the lion's share of carries in Tampa, Carolina, Denver. You know what I mean? There's so many out there. You know, even how it's going to work in Philly or even in Miami, although Kenyon Drake's probably the leader. But that's the thing I'm always looking for, because I always seem to find some dude and go, okay, what's DJ Moore going to be for Cam Newton in Carolina, for instance? Is that a guy I'm going to probably pick too high? So maybe I shouldn't be watching. I think you made the argument for me.
It's all a good point. No, listen.
Go on the DVR and fast forward.
A lot of people like DJ Moore. You know, yeah. I would tell you that if you're a fantasy head like we are, I'm looking at Calvin Ridley.
I picked him up on a bunch of mock drafts just because he's there, man.
I think Ridley's going to have a really good season. We talked about it, playing with a chip on his shoulder. You mentioned DJ Moore. He was the receiver that went before Ridley. I mean, if anything, I'm starting him against Carolina, right?
Right.
You know, when they play head-to-head.
Right.
But it is preseason, guys. And again, you're just trying to get the work in, get some reps. Hopefully some guys show you some glimpses of brilliance. And maybe you're surprised by a few guys who maybe you didn't think would make the team. And we'll see where it goes. For the Falcons, though, our team's pretty set. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing, Mike. Yeah, we've got an offensive line battle when you talk about right guard. But it's going to be one or the other guy. I mean, it's either going to be Schweitzer or it's going to be Fusco. We think it's going to be Fusco. Outside of that, when you start looking position for position,
right,
we're pretty set.
Yeah, and then there's a question, how much production are we going to see from Free this year? We talked about this the other day during the Falcon Report. You know, I mean, is he going to have a monster year? Is it going to be where Coleman maybe, you know, gets more pass receptions than Free? The good news is we got a ton of balance. That's why there really is no excuse for this offense other than, you know, some kind of injury, knock wood, or something goes wrong with the offensive line. You've got more than enough pieces. So I heard Rick talking about it. I mean, look, it's not like Julio's got five guys hanging on him like he's Gulliver's Travels. You know, like the Lilliputians are all over him. I mean, there are plays where he should be open. And look, if there's three guys on Julio, then by God, Ridley or Sanu's going to make a big play. Or Hoover.
Yeah, I just, you know, when you start talking about forcing the ball, I don't think we've ever said we want to force it. What we do want to do is take some shots.
Right.
To give Julio, who for the most part, guys, is more athletic than most of the guys he faces on the defensive side of the football, and give him a chance to make a play. And, you know, the prime example, Mike, is the New England game last year where the ball's thrown in the end zone, it's short, and Julio says, give me that!
Right.
Right. And takes it.
Right. So, I mean, and that's something that Matt's talked about, Julio. We had the Vaughn McClure article from ESPN.com yesterday where Julio's talking about the repetition, the practice, the work on the red zone. You know, something you and I have been, you know, screaming about all offseason. That's why
absolutely
we wanted the man in there.
Absolutely.
Know?
And it's funny because we put that out there yesterday, and it didn't come from us. It was Julio actually saying, we got to, you know, put in the work to make sure that we're on the same page. We regurgitate that, and people are like, when are you guys going to stop saying you were right? Never. Okay? Never.
Yeah, I mean, look, we had guys, you guys, you know, taking shots. When are you going to get on Julio's jock? Well, Julio basically saying everything that we said, and you guys are saying, practice, you know, we got Randy McMichael. Go bust the player advocates balls tomorrow when you see him over at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, because Randy's telling us, real OTAs, minicamp, none of that matters. As I said, you know, Randy feels that football is the 86 Celtics.
Just roll
the balls out, and Larry and the guys take it from there. But here's, you know, here's our own guy, Julio, in his own words. Not doctored, not manipulated, not misconstrued. Julio telling you all the things that we were looking to see, how important it is.
Not misquoted.
I didn't land on Vaughn McClure. Vaughn McClure landed on Julio.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, hit us up, 404-741-0929. And, yeah, we're having some fun with that. Listen, it is what it is at this point. Now I want to see production, right? Was I worried when I was screaming and hollering in here months ago? Yeah, but it's been resolved. But when the guy who we've talked about says the same thing we've said for months, we just acknowledge it. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up as well here on Dukes and Bell with our national signing bonus contest.
Now, today's one of those days that people are up in arms. I think this is the second. I think you would know better than me. Is it two games for every major league club that I have to put on Facebook, which nobody likes? Anyway, bad news up there in D.C. We'll tell you more about it coming up. But guess who left the game?
Who?
Anibal Sanchez.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a left calf contusion, Dave O'Brien is calling it from The Athletic. Braves called a precautionary move. He left with the bases loaded and one out. So just when we started talking, remember we were talking about this with Brian Jordan yesterday, between Newcomb and Anibal Sanchez, you're probably the most reliable starters. All the good effort from Folty last night.
No doubt. Folty stepped up, but Freed's out on the DL now, and potentially we'll see where this goes with Anibal Sanchez. But that's not good news. Again, when you're talking about your most consistent starting pitchers, and we've said this, who are you counting on? All right. So this is one guy that I don't think going into the season we were counting on, and yet now we are. I mean, he's right. Probably been by far our most consistent and best pitcher outside of maybe Sean Newcomb. Either way, we'll get you updated. Speaking of that, Mike, something I want to get into today, because I'm going back and forth with a lot of people, and it's funny. You know, semantics are one thing, and how you feel about a particular player is another. And when I say that we are watching the best young player in Major League Baseball, guys are like, yeah, but there is no but. But it made me think about something, man. All of our teams have star power. Julio, Matt. I don't know what Trey Young's going to be, but guess what? I think it's pretty exciting to think he's going to be bombing 35, 40-foot threes.
Right.
Right? When you look at the Atlanta United, Joseph Martinez is the biggest star right now in MLS. He is. You look at what is going on with this Braves team, and Albies is obviously getting his due. But Acuna, last night, not only hits the home run, but steals a home run. Right. And you know, people are going bananas, and I'm like, this guy was the number one prospect for a reason.
I mean, there's the ultimate five-tool guy. I mean, he can do it all, man. He's got the arm. He's got the legs. He can bat for power. He can bat for average. So that's why you're so excited, and why, as much as you're falling in love with Albies and the comparisons to Altuve on the Astros, that Acuna might be even better. Either way, great problems to have for the Bravos, and we will talk about it in the headlines, but I thought a nice job. You know, Snicker's a guy that sometimes leaves you kind of scratching your head. Pulled the right trigger last night on the guys he had in that lineup. Culberson, he dialed him up, and he went to yard. And it worked out well to have Dansby out of the lineup to start the game.
Dansby's been, right? You want to make that noise with me? He's not been great. He's not even been good. He's been
Well, I mean, unless you're happy with a 240 hitter, I mean, I don't think that's what he was supposed to be in the bigs, but we'll find out.
But as far as Culberson, man, Charlie's had three home runs in three games. So you talk about calling the right shots. That to me, you leave a guy that's in there that's hot. That's why I wanted Albies in there the other night.
Flowers goes yard last night. By the way, Flowers' tater was a monster shot. Acuna's went four. There were like a couple of 450-plus home runs, feet home runs last night for Brett.
Did you say tater?
Yes, it was a dong.
It was a dong. It was a monster shot.
Samuel Charlie is producing today the show, so you missed it the other day. We just aggravated Squidbilly by doing all the synonyms or all the same words for home run, basically.
Basically went through the entire catalog.
Yeah.
As many as I can remember.
Round tripper.
as many as I can remember. But yes, it was
four bagger.
It was a long ball. There's no doubt about it.
Moonshot.
So we'll see what happens today, but we'll keep you updated with that. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got plenty to get to. As I mentioned, special guests to stop by in the 6 o'clock hour. As we get closer, I will tell you more, maybe give you some more clues along the way for those who did not pick up as I was talking to Rick Kamla about that. Hey, and also, as we talk about the Falcons, a couple of games that are going on tonight. We've got some NFL stories that are coming down. One of them has to do with New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. And a guy hit us up. Follow us across all social media platforms, guys. 929 The Game. Mike is at Mike Bell, ATL. Mm-hmm. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell. And he makes the sarcastic comment, Mike, oh, why can't Matt Ryan do what Brady's doing? If you didn't hear, and he's not going to because he doesn't need to, but Patriots add on $5 million of incentives to Tom Brady's contract. Okay, he's set to make $15 million this year. Now, for what he's accomplished and what he's done, obviously he's underpaid, but we know Tom Brady and the circumstances there. He's making a lot of money elsewhere.
But he has moved money around and backloaded some stuff before and moved. I mean, this is part of what he does and how the Patriots continue to operate. So, I mean, you can't discount it because it is part of their business model to a degree. But, yeah, Matt at some point, maybe a year or two years down the road, he might be moving some money off his current deal. But right now he's the highest paid dude.
Well, I think that, you know, this is the one guy that can change the dynamic of your finances with your team. It's not your starting center or your right guard. It's the quarterback. So, Mike, he is 22nd in the league right now when you talk about salary.
Mm.
That's hard to believe for Tom Brady, but they added that incentive on for him, and a lot of guys are looking at that and saying, well, why couldn't we have done something like this for Matt? I think the story was kind of written for Matt. With him playing in the last year of his deal, them knowing they want to wrap him up long term, it kind of is what it is. But you're right. We're not at that point. But we might be.
And look, you know the drill. I mean, look, is Matt the MVP or is Matt the guy that you saw in 15 or the guy you saw last year in 17 where the touchdowns were down by 18? I mean, I know a lot of people in town say that contract is still an obscene contract, but that was the going rate. And the Falcons didn't want to have to deal with the nonsense. So Tom Condon put the deal together. They signed off on it. Or whoever made this deal, both parties agreed to it. I'm with you. It's crazy money. It's strange. And Drew Brees, you can't compare because Drew Brees has only got a few years left in his career. He basically did give kind of a hometown discount because he didn't do a monster contract with the Saints, as big as it could have been.
Yeah, Brady last year, 4,500 yards, 32 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. Meanwhile, Gronk, too, guys, has an incentive to boost his salary from $5.2 million to $10.7. So, but that's how the Patriots do it. They're giving you a lot of incentives. Hey, let's give you a chance to win right now some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Here. Come here. H-E-R-E. Here.
You say that to Maximus? Here, Maximus.
Here. Come here.
that's Carl's dog, not his imaginary friend. Here, yes. Gets texted to 72881 right now, guys, for your shot at $1,000. We'd like to make it $5,000 that we've given away on this program. You'd be winner number 5 if you get the call back from our parent company. So text here to 72881 and answer the phone if you see it ringing.
All right, man. We got headlines coming up. We'll also get you caught up on the PGA Championship leaderboard. Everybody's watching Tiger, and he came out struggling. I mean, he just could not put it in the fairway to save his life. But we'll get you caught up on the leaderboard and see what's going on there. It's the last major of the year is going on.
I'm sorry to cut you off. It's a good thing they're moving this to May because this one does get lost in the shuffle. You know, football season is ramping up. We were talking about this. I was on Twitter today. I was joking around with some of our listeners, and I said, if the Corleone family, Carl, were golf majors, the PGA Championship would be Fredo. You know, because the Players' Championship would be more like Tom Hagen. Even though he's an adopted member, people see that as the fifth major. The PGA is always kind of an afterthought. So, yes, yeah, so this is the Fredo of the Corleone family. One guy hit me back, and he said, Michael would be the Masters. Understated. Cool. He said that Don Corleone obviously would have the Open series over in England, be the British Open, and that Sonny is the U.S. Open. Because there you are. You're looking good. You got a lead. And then, blam, your brains are blown all over your nice, clean Ivy League suit. Godfather 1 and 2 was on last night on AMC, and, yes, I watched. I couldn't resist.
Coming up, man, more about the Falcons as well. We want to hear from you at 404-741-0929. I got to tell you, it's an investment, by the way. Even now, as much as I love those movies, mm-hmm. I find myself watching bits and pieces and then changing the channel. I have yet to watch Godfather from start to finish in a very long time.
Right. Well, especially when you got commercials. Last night at AMC, Sam just said, man, that's a 9-hour process.
It really is. It's a long time. But... Yeah. Love it.
Oh, can't stop it.
I love it.
I mean, I know every word's coming up. You know, Mike, you don't come to Las Vegas and talk to a man like Mo Green like that. And my wife's like, you know, this is, and now she can't enjoy it because I'm throwing the lines out before they come out like an idiot.
Yeah, that's what people do. That's why You know, you hate people in the movies when you go see a show and they're screaming out lines or, oh, don't go in there. Shut up. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, guys. Big Thursday show. Coming up, though, we'll tell you the latest with the Braves on 92.9 The Game.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius.
It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Thursday. Mike and I are just looking at the leaderboard. We're going to tell you what's going on with the 100th PGA Championship. Bella Reeve Country Club in St. Louis. What's the weather, by the way? It's hot. It looked hot.
Yeah, it is steamy in Missouri. A lot of complaints already. People chirping about the PGA. The course is too easy. They can always find a way to make that harder. Then you're also about 6.2 miles from the world's worst nuclear toxic dump, as featured on HBO. Remember that? Remember you and I were watching that earlier this summer?
It's crazy,
over
man.
Over by the airport. But I digress. Yeah, Tiger is even, by the way, even par. He birdied 18 to get back to even. He was struggling. We were talking. You and I were both watching earlier today. He was grinding and did finish even par.
All right, man. We'll tell you who's atop the leaderboard. And here's the deal. After the first round, I'm just going to say, can he finish? Because I find myself, whenever I see this guy's name, and you'll see what I'm talking about here in just a minute, can he finish? Because he's great, but he never finishes. Hey, a quick reminder, 92.9 The Game this Friday, that's tomorrow, 10 to 2. That is the Midday Show, guys, with Rick and John. John, obviously, up in New York with the Falcons. So it'll be Randy McMichael broadcasting with Rick Kamala. Go out and see those guys. Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Register on site for a chance to win Big Three basketball tickets for Friday night at Infinite Energy Arena. So they'll have some tickets out there if you want to go check that out. As far as our Hey Man L, I do want to put this out there because it's really cool. Our beer continues to expand here in the Atlanta market. And a big shout out to Rose and Crown Tavern in Marietta. They pick up Hey Man L.
Hey, hey!
I'm looking at a picture
right now. Ring
the
bell, man. Ring the bell.
That was sent earlier today, and they are literally writing it on the board. So I'm gonna tweet this out.
Right.
Because you see Miller Lite, you see other beer, and then you look down and she's writing Hey Man L.
Thank you. Rose and Crown, a classic spot. We did the original Guinness Perfect Pint at the first, the original Rose and Crown in Buckhead way back when, but a great spot, man. Good bar. So appreciate you picking up Hey Man Ale. If your bar doesn't have it, ask him to call Oconee Brewing and Georgia Crown and get it in there, man.
Craig behind the glass. He's our engineer today, as we said. Brian Sam Tarley is what we call him because he looks like the guy off of Game of Thrones. By the way, when is Game of Thrones coming back? Is it next spring? Next spring.
Wow, I got to wait that long?
Killing me, man.
Now, they're wrapping up the filming. I got to be a lot of CGI and post-production and everything else. I got to throw in the dragons and all the stuff. But, yeah, a lot of places over in England, like Ladbrokes, you can bet who's going to survive, who's going to be dead by the final episode, if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, I just I'm craving to get it back, and it seems like it's been forever. Mm. All right, man, we've got a lot to get to. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
In the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Let's start first with Brian Snicker talking about the bullpen. Because last night, you know, when you look at the Braves, yeah, they got plenty of offense. Final score was 8-3. Braves and Nats playing today. Hopefully they can win this series and wrap things up today. But Snicker talking about it was a good team win.
That was a good team win tonight. I mean, it was really, after everything we went through yesterday and with the shape the bullpen was in, that was a, you know, Winkler's two innings go unnoticed too. That was huge. You know, we're down to really Winkler and Brock to kind of split those three innings, and I think Wink did a great job of getting through two of them.
It's a valid point, Mike, and I said going into the series I was worried about how he was going to rotate the bullpen or at least the usage. And then that first game, the way it played out, I was a little bit concerned. So Snick's right about that. I do want you to hear what Snicker said about Acuña showcasing his skills on the national stage. I think there are a lot of people here, obviously, who know who he is. But around baseball, people are starting to pay attention.
He's a very skilled player. He's got a ways to go. I mean, he's far from being a finished product. But he's a very talented young man, and he's an exciting player because he's got skills.
He's got skills. What's going on today? Mike mentioned it. Sanchez leaves the game.
Yeah, Adibel Sanchez, some kind of a calf thing. Is that what Dave O'Brien said? I mentioned it earlier. So he's out, and then they had put big old Wes Parsons in there. He inherited the bases loaded and gave up three. So it is 3-1 in the bottom of the fifth right now up in D.C. on getaway day before the Nats hit road. Braves come back to take on Milwaukee as the chipper gets honored amongst the other alumni this weekend.
Folty, again, was really good last night. He gets the win, now 9-7 on the season. Gave him 5 2/3. But we're going to keep an eye out to see where this goes with Anibal Sanchez after the game today, simply because you're already out. You know, they were trying to have basically six guys to give additional rest, But Freed then goes to the DL, and we'll see where this goes with Sanchez. Now, all of a sudden, the rotation that looked like it was expanding is shrinking, Mike, and there may have to be some adjustments there. Maybe we will see Tookie time.
Tookie Toussaint, a guy that we've been talking about. He has excelled every level as he's come up through AA to AAA Gwinnett playing for the Stripers. So, yeah, man, let's see what he can do.
All right, man. What about the Falcons? They're on their way to New York City. Deion Jones says they are preparing for this preseason game and the preseason as a whole the same way they do everything.
I still prepare like it's a game, still go through my same routine just to make sure that I'm on everything for when the season starts. There's nothing new, and I'm good with my timing and making sure everything still runs and the way it's supposed to.
I'd love to tell you how many snaps each one of these guys are going to get. It's already been designated. We've talked about it as far as the offense. Matt, maybe a series, and then we'll see you.
Yeah, as Arch said to us the other day, if it was a three and out, maybe the starters get another series. And I mean, like, you don't have to preach to us, guys. We know that preseason football, as far as for the as a paying consumer, it sucks, but that's a Jets fan's problem on Friday. We'll have the Chiefs back at Mercedes-Benz next Friday. But I'm just looking forward, as we said, Ito Smith, Isaiah Oliver, Deidrin Sanat, all the young new faces, and see what these guys can do.
Yeah, me too, Mike. By the way, you'll be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 5:30 tomorrow is the pregame. 7:30 kickoff as the Falcons take on the Jets. What's that leaderboard look like at the PGA Championship?
All right, your leader in the clubhouse at 5-under. Ricky Fowler shot a 65. Austin Cook, one-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's 2-back, 3-under. Ian Poulter, Carl, I know you enjoyed that profile with Faraday on Golf Channel.
Really entertaining.
He's also at 3-under. Pat Perez, Craig, our engineer's uncle, is at 3-under. Jason Day, a former PGA Tour winner at 3-under. And Tiger Woods, even par for the day at Belrive.
Will he finish? Will Ricky Fowler finish? 65
well,
today.
I mean, all right, so here's the deal. You know they're going to tighten up the course because already people are chirping it's too easy. But Ricky, for all big fans, he's, you know, that there's nothing worse than that moniker, the best ... to not win the major. And Ricky is that guy. So as all the other dudes, you know, the Justin Thomases and obviously, you know, Spieth and everything, he's got to get it done. Maybe this will be the one. I think once he does win, then I think they will come in bunches for Ricky Fowler.
No, I do too. I mean, you know, how many majors are we talking about? He's capable of winning at his age. He could easily win 4 or 5 majors.
Right. Exactly right.
I mean, it's not like Ricky Fowler doesn't have another 12 good years in front of him. I just think he's so good and hasn't won yet. It's almost like, okay, is he cursed? What's going on?
Well, I mean, and he's also got the hype because, you know, the ladies' choice for golf is Ricky Fowler. And, you know, the marketing of him has been pretty intense. So now he's got to step up to all the hype.
All right, man. It is Dukes and Bell as we go through some headlines here. Coming up, by the way, we'll talk more specifics as to what we're looking for in that game tomorrow with the Falcons and talk about some guys as well.
Hey, one of the headlines which we got late in the show yesterday here on Dukes and Bell, Mike Conte was talking about it with us. The NCAA basically handing off running and responsibility of players and agents to USA Basketball. Because you and I, basically the story broke while we were on the air. I got a chance to kind of get the nuts and bolts of it. And basically, USA Basketball saying, whoa, we don't want this. Mark Emmert, the idiot stooge, giving you more evidence and more ammunition, Carl, to say the NCAA doesn't need to exist if they're not going to be policing the sport. And in essence, they took a sticky situation, which is, you know, the agent's involvement. And it sounded really great to us yesterday on first glance, but when you really look into it, the NCAA is almost washing their hands of how they're going to govern how players deal with agents and the sort of a clearinghouse to see if guys could perhaps stay in college basketball and not go to the pros.
The problem wasn't the rule. It was how it was communicated. The actual process of, I want to go pro. Okay, go ahead. You don't get picked. You've declared. You're screwed. The idea now is I can at least go back to school. There's some outs in this. That's fine. As a fan, that makes sense. The problem is the NCAA didn't communicate this to the NBA or USA men's basketball.
So John Calipari over in the Bahamas saying that, hey, man, this is really not doing much of anything. This is window dressing. And, again, you don't really have anything that's going to really come into form for about 2 or 3 years because there's nothing in place. So the NCAA basically made stuff up, dropped it at the feet of another organization, and then and literally sits there patting themselves on the back as if they've solved the problem. So drives me crazy.
Crazy stuff happening there. And we'll see where it goes. I mean, now that cat's out the bag, what are you going to do? Go back and go, oh, no, we're not going to implement this? I don't know how they adjust it or what they do. But, yeah, everybody's talking about how this was just all of a sudden laid out there and nobody really knew about it. Mm. Hey, man, in other news, the Dogs continue to work out, guys. Kirby Smart talking about camp and where they are currently. Here's what he said.
I'm excited. I want to get to the scrimmage Saturday to make judgments on some of these kids because a lot of them are swimming as far as mentally, but that's to be expected. It's not like it's unexpected. There's some really good competitors out there, and there's some guys in the young group that are really competing hard. Some leaders are starting to show up. We've had some good leaders. I think the biggest concern I got is that the best players play the best, and that probably hadn't happened so far in camp. We got some guys that I consider to be really good players that aren't playing up to their potential, but we've also got a lot of players who were twos and threes last year that I think are playing pretty well. So we got some good competition going on out there, and I'm excited about that.
I think that's everything Georgia fans want to hear. There's no sense of entitlement for upperclassmen. Everything's got to be earned, and that goes for offensive linemen and the defense.
Yeah, first scrimmage, by the way, he's mentioning. He's talking about Saturday as the first full scrimmage. So we'll know more over the weekend about how he feels. But, by the way, are you surprised he still has a voice?
I think he's in mid-season form right there. It's kind of almost Ray Goff-like at times.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised he sounded as good as he did. Because usually right about now, a few days, 5-6 days into camp.
That was who was the defensive coordinator got in trouble with Bountygate? Greg Moore, if you watched him on Hard Knocks. Same thing. His voice was shot by the third day of Browns practice. It's pretty funny. The player goes, hey, coach, you need a lozenge? He goes, yeah, I got your lozenge blank. Anyway.
Hey, coming up at 3, NFL Blitz, guys. 12 NFL preseason games tonight. What? We'll get into that. And also, somebody's got a big mouth. But coming up next, we will talk about the Falcons and a couple of specific guys to look to and for on Friday. We know Atlanta United are not playing for another week or so, but we did not mention this, Mike, because I know some people were saying, what's going on with the transfer window? Mm-hmm. We had talked to Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra, who both said, listen, we're not looking to really do anything. We like our team. We want our team to be intact. They did make the move to get Remedy, who's been great since getting here,
right.
But it looks like what we see is what we've got with Atlanta United.
Yeah, man, the international stuff has been really wild. If you've been following that, Chelsea – happens to be my squad. They trade or they send. It's different because, remember, you basically sell a guy to a team and then the team negotiates the deal. But Courtois, the Belgian goalkeeper that was the best goalkeeper in the World Cup, he goes to Real Madrid. And we pick up Kepa, who had played for Athletic Bilbao. And that's for $71 million. And we also, when I say we, Chelsea, also picked up a dude that played on the Croatian team that went to the finals. But a lot of stuff going on internationally, but nobody in Atlanta leaving. Now, a lot of guys are worried about Miggy or perhaps Joseph, but no. Joseph, I mean, he's got an MLS MVP, a gold boot to win first.
And he will. How many goals he ends at? 34? How many goals do you think? When it's all said
and
done.
I mean, you know, knock wood about any kind of injury or something. But I mean,
he's averaging two a game.
He averages a goal every 85 minutes, you know, over the course of the season. It's insane. So yeah, I mean, it could be obviously he's gonna rewrite the rule book. I mean, the record book, I should say, and it should be something special. Now, Miggy's the guy most likely to probably be the first I would think to go if we were gonna send somebody to Europe and make a boatload of money doing so.
I agree. But we don't have to worry about that right now.
Right.
And that's why we mention it, because the transfer window has closed. Hey, man, hit us up, 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Coming up at 3, we'll talk about the NFL Blitz, give you some more insight into some of these games tonight. But also, one saint running his mouth. We'll get into that. Tonight, or should I say tomorrow with the Falcons, Mike, in this first preseason game, you know, we want to see Calvin Ridley. I'd love to see Ridley catch a ball or two, get him out. But, you know, just get a feel for Calvin Ridley. Now, I do think once we get to that third preseason game, guys, obviously the Falcons, the starters will play a lot more. And I think we'll see, you know, Ridley make some plays potentially, maybe even Julio, that third preseason game, because the guys usually play into the third quarter. And that game this year is against Jacksonville.
Right.
But I'm just pointing out, this is the first time we'll see Ridley in a Falcon uniform for real. So,
right.
You know, that from that standpoint, he was our first-round draft pick. He has looked really good at practice. And how many balls he actually gets tonight, or tomorrow, should I say, I don't know. But I'd like to see him catch one or two.
Well, there's 14 guys, as we said, that are listed as wide receiver on this team, and obviously they're not going to carry that many. So you get a chance, a lot of these guys in the second half of this one. And the fourth game is where you see all the rookies and all the guys that are really fighting for a roster spot, you know, to make that 53-man roster. But, yeah, games against the Chiefs, and then we play, is it Jacksonville? Yeah, great defense to play against for offensive line to kind of settle that Schweitzer versus Fusco, if, in fact, it is a competition. Fusco is listed as a backup to Wes Schweitzer as the right guard for this game. But remember, last year they went and they alternated between Garland and Schweitzer eventually won out, but was a bit of a disappointment.
All right. The other thing we'll be watching, Tack McKinley allegedly will be ready to go. Now, again, how many snaps he actually gets. This week he got back to 11-on-11 drills earlier this week, but I think the Falcons want to protect the shoulder and make sure that he is going to be healthy moving towards the season. So it may be one series for Tack, maybe none. I don't know. But the idea is he's going to be dressed out. We originally thought that he would not even be dressed to play. So right. Tack is another guy.
Just get a little nervous because you don't want to – I mean, it's not the end of the world, but you just get a little nervous when you see a guy injuring a shoulder that got worked on in the offseason. But, hey, big expectations for him and Vic to get after the QB.
Now, Matt Bryant will not be kicking in this first preseason game. Undisclosed injury is how they described it. And he says, or they say, he's fine. But we're going to see David Marvin, who is a Georgia kid,
right,
kicking for the Falcons in this first preseason game, Mike. And again, you know, every year we say this. It's like they bring in a guy or two to challenge Matt Bryant. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of camp, it's Matt Bryant.
Yeah, and Marvin the Martian was a guy that lost his job to Rodrigo Blankenship. He did kick in one game for the Dogs. But he's a guy that had come. He transferred into to UGA from Wofford. He's a guy that, like every year they bring in a guy to try to compete with. Remember, who was a guy from Texas who couldn't hit a broadside of a barn 2 years ago?
Don't remind me. He had a hell of a leg. He could kick it 80 yards.
80 yards, you know where it was going.
No, that's true.
Yeah. It's like a border run. But as far as Matt Bryant, just take your time. And Melissa, we know you're listening, so give your man some TLC, deep tissue massage.
Please do, Melissa. Hey, the other thing, Marquand Manuel, our defensive coordinator, talking about the depth, and he thinks that this is the deepest secondary he's seen here with the Falcons since they've been here as a coaching staff. But Isaiah Oliver, and I'm just mentioning mm-hmm. that name, throughout the course of this preseason, let's see how the Falcons use him, how many snaps he gets. That's a guy that is going to play, I think, a big role when the season rolls around in the nickel and dime packages, Mike.
He's listed as a backup behind Trufant, but the guy's got arms like Doc Octopus for Spider-Man fans. I mean, the guy's just got great length. That's why they picked him up. That's why it was a no-brainer when he fell to them, where the way the draft worked out in the second round. But we got a really good secondary, especially the way Trufant's been getting after it. He looks much healthier, I guess. I still don't know what the problem was for the first half of the season last year. Alford seemed to be better to me overall. But, a guy that... You know, when if he did, for instance, struggle, and if Oliver could develop into the guy, maybe Trufant Oliver become the guy. Either way, you're paying both Trufant and Alford some good money right now.
They are considered to be top corners in this league. I mean, where you rank them, that's up to you.
But we need more picks. But that's why Dan Quinn talks about the turnovers. We don't generate enough turnovers for those guys to make as much money as they do compared to other guys who create turnovers. Take the Julio argument for touchdowns. Extrapolate that to where our secondary is with interceptions. We got to create more.
Yeah, I'd love to have for example, Marcus Peters' numbers as far as picks are concerned. I'd love to have one of those
guys.
He's
got as many as Alford and Trufant combined in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about. Last but not least, just a couple of things, and we'll talk more specifics again tomorrow as we get into this, but gearing up for the Falcons' first preseason game. They're on their way to New York. Sam Darnold, number 3 overall pick. All right, so people in New York are saying the Jets they're excited about the idea that Darnold's going to be the next big thing. Remember, he was late getting to camp because the whole contract thing.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Okay. So we'll see Sam Darnold for how long?
You know, I just don't know. I don't really know what to make of where he's going to go because he's surrounded by a lot of bleh right now with the Jets. So we'll see how quickly they can start to build some pieces around him. You could argue that if you had Saquon Barkley there to take some pressure off him, you know what I mean? Like that's the Giants, obviously, with Eli. But we'll see how the Jets moving forward, can get that offense on track. I mean, is this a make-or-break year for Todd Bowles, the ladies' man? I mean, there's a short – it's always a short fuse in New York with
there
the coaches.
There is.
Especially with the Jets.
I'm glad you brought that up. Let me look at this because, I was looking at the AFC predictions. I was looking specifically for our predictions mm-hmm. and what people are thinking about the NFC South. A lot of folks have us winning the South again, guys, getting the 12 wins. They got the Saints right there at 11-5 again, and then the Panthers, 7-9 or maybe 8-8, depending. But to your point about the Jets, when you look at that division, Jets are predicted to win 2 or 3 games this year. You got the Patriots. You got the Dolphins. People think the Bills are going to be better. All 3 will be better than the Jets. So to your point, I don't know.
You got fantasy killers Bilal Powell and Isaiah Crowell for you guys. Believe me, I know because I've picked them up late, and they often give you that 6 points and then nothing, and then 4.5 and then nothing. But as far as the Jets' run game, yeah, it's non-existent. And the O-line, they try to patch it up in the offseason. So they've got some real issues on that one side of the ball, and that's what you're throwing a rookie into. So if you feel as a Jets fan there's no better way to learn than on the job, well, you got to learn on the job if you got a shot. Just putting a rookie out there is just going to be another buster first-round pick if he's out there surrounded by a bunch of meh.
Man, I still think the Patriots and the Jaguars are the best teams, along with the Pittsburgh Steelers, depending on – how that all plays out. Remember, Le'Veon missed camp last year and things were fine. But those three teams, and then who's the fourth team in the AFC? This is what's so crazy about the NFC. To me, the NFC is so much better than the AFC. The AFC is very predictable who the best teams are right now, because I don't see any of these teams, the Bengals or for that matter the Browns, taking the kind of jump to get into the playoffs and have a real effect. But I do think the Patriots, the Jags, and the Steelers are going to be back.
Some people like the Chargers this year because they've got a good defense.
They do.
And, you know, Philip Rivers, kind of funny. There was an interview where Philip Rivers says, "Yeah, I hear that Brady wants to play till he's in his mid 40s. Not me, pal." Philip Rivers is like, "I got two or three good years left tops." But, you know, Philip Rivers, who's always steady and never gets a lot of respect, obviously, as far as Hall of Fame, but he's putting up the numbers very quietly. And then you talk about the Chiefs. Pat Mahomes is throwing a ton of picks, but Andy Reid says he never makes the same mistake twice, but yet he makes a lot of mistakes. And then you got the Raiders. Here's a fantasy sleeper. What about Gruden dialing up Marshawn Lynch in the red zone early and often?
Well, he said Marshawn's got to be better than he was last year. You know, when people thought Marshawn was washed up when he left Seattle, what's he got left in the tank? At times, it looked like he had a lot left at times last year.
Well, you think about the Broncos because they got Case Keenum.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, again, it's always their running backs are kind of by committee, but they have first amongst equals. They still have some great receivers if you think about Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel. So can you get those guys to rock? Because Case Keenum is certainly the best quarterback they've had since Peyton walked away, right?
It is. Royce Freeman is the kid they drafted.
That's it. Good call.
But the Chargers, I do think, are the cream of the crop of that division. Now, Gruden's first year, what are they going to do? If they're 500, I think, you know, people go, okay. But I think the expectation is the Raiders, from a talent standpoint, should be better than 500 teams.
We'll talk more about the Raiders in the NFL Blitz coming up because Khalil Mack, that money's starting to get due. He's going to lose out of his pocket not being in camp, and it's hefty.
What did Georgia resident Alvin Kamara say? Find out next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.